miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Protected well, fires, tipped, and it's going to be picked off in the end zone. David Long Jr. comes down with it. Rolling left, after the fake, he's going to air it out. Deep downfield, has a man open, and it's caught at the 15-yard line by Van Jefferson, and he gets up and rumbles to the end zone. Matthew Stafford with a bomb. It's got the great arm, we know that. And then Jefferson makes the catch, rolls over, doesn't get touched, and takes it in. Walton under pressure. Ball comes out. Is it a fumble or not? It won't matter, really, because it's fourth down.
That's what Stafford does so well.
No huddle here. Stafford, he's going to air it out. Deep downfield, wide, wide, wide open. A flag is down. That's Cooper Kupp. There's a flag down at the 35-yard line. The Bears already signaling it's against the Rams. Meanwhile, Fields in the game with the play clock is right down to zero. Here goes Fields. Can he get in? Yes, he can. Anderson, and he will get into the end zone. Like I said, maybe at the top, a match made in heaven. We're going to find out. Here's Cooper Kupp. And Kupp still on his feet. Breaking tackles. Up in motion, looks toward Kupp, comes back the other way, and that is caught for the touchdown.
Yep, some of the moments last night, but we've got this to hang our hat on defensively.
Sean was great on the headset, very calm.
Sean was great on the headset. Sean Desai, our defensive coordinator. Let's go back to the phones. And we've got a lot of people who would like to weigh in. Let's go to Lonnie on the south. How about we go to Miles on the south side? Miles, what's up, man?
Hello?
Hi, Miles.
Hey, how you doing? I'm on air?
Yes, sir.
He's here. Go ahead.
It sounds good. Sounds good. So there's two things I wanted to say. One, during the broadcast last night, I really need people to stop comparing us to that Kansas City situation. Like, oh, they're trying to replicate Alex Smith sitting behind and Andy Reid. First of all, Andy Dalton is not Alex Smith, and Matt Nagy is not Andy Reid. So we need to stop that, first of all. Secondly, is it just me or was that the worst game I've ever seen Bo Jack play? Eddie Jackson looked terrible. He couldn't make a tackle, couldn't cover anybody, so... That's all I wanted to say.
All right, we'll address it. We appreciate the phone call. I don't know if it's the worst game we've seen Eddie Jackson play, but I will tell you this, is that Eddie Jackson, for all the acclaim and all the credit that he usually gets, he deserves a lot of the blame in that secondary. That's a veteran guy at free safety that's got to be able to be a lot better. Just the fundamentals, the little things that bother me about it. And, of course, just getting beat deep twice where the secondary has no idea, Cap, where they're supposed to be, that is bothersome as well. And by the way, this is not something where preseason fixes it, right? That's just supposed to be instinct. Practices, you should be able to know in film study exactly how dangerous Cooper Kupp could be on big plays. And guess what? The Bears failed defensively.
Right, but when a guy catches a long pass, we're blown coverage, he's laying at your feet.
Sure.
And you don't know to touch him down?
It's unbelievable.
He gets up and runs in?
I think he surprised Jefferson as well. He felt like, what? They didn't even tackle me. They didn't even touch me. I'm going to keep rolling.
Jeff played the highlight of their radio announcer. To hear his, like, he goes over the top at the end. It's a great call.
Sure.
But he has, whoa. He got up. Like, he just explodes because he can't believe an NFL team is that stupid. Let's go back to the phones. Gage is up next. Hey, Gage in East Dundee. What's up, man?
Captain Hoodie, what's up, boys? Good morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to say to the people that were calling in saying Justin Fields shouldn't see the field at all this season or not until late in the season, I think they're crazy, man. The couple of times he came in, especially on the touchdown run, I was excited as I was the whole entire game. I think he just brings a different type of energy to the offense. and Andy Dalton, he just don't get the job done, man. I think last night was all we needed to see as Bears fans, the interception in the red zone, the fumble. Our defense ain't good enough to protect the offense again this year. That's all I wanted to say. Have a good day.
You too. Appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Can Justin Fields be able to make plays defensively as well? Because that also is the issue, right? Mm-hmm. Well, from Andy Dalton's standpoint, okay, Cap, you saw Andy Dalton be able to matriculate the team down the field, 5-yard passes, 7-8-yard passes, right? But that's not the NFL today. Like, yeah, you could do some of that, but you have to be able to take shots down the field. Now, again, he wasn't completely embarrassing out there. He was not. We've seen embarrassing performances where the offense would have no shot, right? Absolutely. Absolutely no shot. But again, when you have Allen Robinson on the field, I want him to be able to make big splash plays. And this offense, for all of that Nagy talks about, where are the big plays offensively?
We don't have any.
Is he not confident in his own team to be able to make big plays? That's terrain that you and I have not been able to talk about a lot. Does Matt have the confidence in his own offense to be able to take shots down the field?
Apparently not. They didn't try a pass over 20 yards. Dalton was 0-for-1 over 10 yards. And again, I can't say this loudly enough. When you brought Justin Fields into the game and you ask him to hand off, run a little end around, what does that do for him? Oh, he handed the ball off. If he can't hand the ball off, then we're in real trouble. You let him throw a pass the first time, complete it to the two. Well, who gives you a better opportunity at the 2-yard line?
Justin Fields
or Andy Dalton?
Justin, for real.
Correct.
And even though Andy did scramble for first and goal, I believe that at some point he did scramble, which surprised me, by the way, mm-hmm. that he was mobile enough to do that. No, Fields gives you the best opportunity to get that done.
And
we saw it with a touchdown.
And how many times do we squander a timeout in the first quarter?
Oh, yeah, bad play, bad clock management.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. Let's go back to the phones, and let's go to, how about Troy in Merrillville? Hey, Troy, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
I'm all right. How you doing today?
Hey, Troy.
Man, this is... Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Troy.
Go right ahead, sir.
Did Matt Nagy ever look at the clock and see that he was losing? Because the way he was calling plays, it's like he was grinding it out, trying to run out the clock and just get a field goal. This is what we got to look forward to all winter. We got a long winter, my buddy.
Yes, we do have a very long winter. Appreciate your call. It saddens me to come on the air and say it because I'm the most optimistic guy in the world. Meller says the dog meme where it's burning down and everything's fine is me. That's how I live my life. I'm also trying to be completely transparent and honest. I hope they prove me wrong. What I watched last night, what I have in my brain from Matt's 4 years here in Chicago, 18, 19, 20, and now the start of 21 tells me we suck.
You mean you don't think that the culture can win ball games for the Bears? The culture, the room? How about the quarterback room?
No.
Oh, so the culture and the room are not factors anymore.
It's important to have that because when Trestman was here, it was a complete train wreck up there. Much as I did not like John Fox made it a professional locker room again. He was a professional coach. Trestman was awful. Yes, you have to have a good room and all that, but it doesn't matter if you can't win.
Yeah, the W's are the most important thing. As a coach, you know that, right? You can have the best locker room, the best guys, and yeah, all that stuff. But again, it gets to a point where it's really, really so nice. It's so nice, right? Everything's so happy in there. That's great, but there has to be some people held accountable. It starts with the head coach. I'm interested in this week. You know, the big storyline this week we got to talk to JD about coming up at 9:35 is what are they going to do about left tackle? That can't be Wilkinson. You got to be able to bring some people in, right? That was serious with Peters and Borum.
Bring
yesterday.
In who?
I'm just saying, like someone.
There's nobody out there.
Well, no, Peters came off of a fishing boat. They brought him in.
Correct.
Right.
Well, there are no more fishing boats.
Oh, there's plenty of fishing boats. This guy's
who's on it? Ron Semitas. You know who he is?
No.
He's 79 years old. He's my father-in-law. I don't want him at left tackle either, and he's skinny anyway.
Can he play?
No.
Okay. Well, you need somebody.
That's who's on fishing boats. Harry Zetterman. Sorry, Sven.
Yeah.
That's who's either on a golf course or on a fishing boat. There's nothing left, man.
Yeah. Too bad. Too bad the Tevin Jenkins thing didn't work out, or because you messed up the money salary cap wise that you didn't really invest in that position enough. Yeah, you drafted it, but what about your backups?
It's not good. It is when you got to go get a 39-year-old. Who, by the way, I didn't realize how big that guy is. Oh my God! That you got to go get a 39-year-old off a fishing boat. You're effed. Back to the phones. Let's go to George in Old Town. Hey, George, what's up, Sparkles?
Well, I got to say, I'm disappointed in Matt Nagy. I wanted like 12 to 15 plays with Justin Fields. He wouldn't let him finish when he gets him down to the 2-yard line. He's not, Matt Nagy's not in the moment. He's sticking to a corporate script when he's not in the moment. And then guys like Eddie Jackson don't follow through because they know he's not trying to win. He's trying to stick to some corporate script. It's not right.
Okay, and appreciate the call. I don't know how to address that.
No, Cap, you're sticking to a corporate script, not Matt Nagy.
No. There's no corporate script here. I mean,
what?
Again.
What's he mean?
When Matt goes to the press conference and really looks like, well, I've talked to Sean about his defense, and no, that's your defense.
Right.
And your defense is awful. That defensive performance last night does not fall at the feet of Sean Desai, because I guarantee you he did not coach Eddie Jackson to watch a guy fall down and not touch him. I guarantee you he did not coach his guys to let people run unmolested through the secondary wide open. Guaranteed.
Now, I'll tell you one thing about Matt Nagy over the years. You've seen this, right? It's always separation of church and state with him, with the offense and defense, right? That's Chuck's defense, and that's Fangio's defense. No, you're the head coach. All three phases are yours.
Exactly.
Those are your, like, no, I'm just the offensive guy. I just call the offensive plays. No, that's your defense too. They all know, Cap. They all know what we're saying, and they understand. The defense, is as much as we adore the names and know the past of some of these guys defensively, the defense is going in the wrong direction. And boy, if the offense is bad, you should have saw the defense. And if you did, you know, both phases did not play well yesterday.
Yeah, one thing, and then we'll get more calls in here. 312-332-3776. Juani told a great story again yesterday.
What did I say, Davon?
Where he was the head coach. He's calling the defense here. And he said, we still had a pretty solid defense, had good players. And he said, Jimmy Johnson called him and said, what are you doing? You are now a head coach. You have an offensive coordinator. His job is to score points. You have a defensive coordinator. His job is to keep them out of the end zone. You need to know, do I take a timeout here? Do we fake punt here? Do we blitz? No, you listen to that stuff in your headset and give your input. You're not calling the play after each play. You're right. Not the guy.
Right.
You're a head coach. And he said Matt needs to figure that out.
Got to have input on all three phases.
Correct.
I mean,
coach,
it's right.
You want a fake punt?
Yeah.
Well, you're busy in your play sheet going, oh, do we want to run here? Do we want to? No, you're the head coach. Hand it back to Laser.
That's correct.
It is what it is. 312-332-3776. We will have more of your calls straight ahead here on Cap J Hood on ESPN 1000. What is your car's monthly payment? There's a good chance First Midwest Bank can lower it, just like refinancing a mortgage. They can refinance your auto loan, too. That's right. First Midwest Bank will work with you to tune up your car loan. That means lower payments, lower interest rates, and higher monthly savings. Plus, you can wait up to 60 days to make your first payment. Go to firstmidwest.com/autorefi to apply and drive down your car payments today.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Great job by the team being able to get the win tonight. The Bears are a really tough outfit. We can certainly build on this, but Matthew did a great job leading the way offensively.
Oh, it was awesome. You know, it was a complete team win. Obviously, our defense did a great job getting the ball back for us a couple times, three or four times, felt like. You got my future in your head.
We were able to get some explosives. What a play by Van Jefferson to be able to get up, have the awareness to finish that.
Stafford under center with Henderson is single back. Sets his feet and launches. Back deep right. It's caught at the 20. Van Jefferson stumbling to the turf. He was not touched. He gets up. He gets in. Touchdown, LA!
But Sean was great on the headset. That was our defense. Sean was great on the headset. That was courtesy of our sister station in L.A., ESPN L.A. And you heard the touchdown and Eddie Jackson and Tayshawn Gibson, especially Eddie Jackson, who had just reach out and touch him. He's down. Nope. Doesn't realize it or doesn't care or doesn't react. Touchdown. L.A., and it went downhill from there.
Yes, it was. It was just a flat performance by the Bears, and I was very disappointed in what I saw. And so I don't know how this gets better for week two. Of course, it's the NFL. You can turn it around in week two. But what I'm saying is that for week one, after all this time waiting, man, all this hand-wringing, can't wait for the season to start, Cap, and then you get that effort. A lot of the things that we talked about leading into last night's game came to fruition, didn't it? My major concern was the defense, and you saw the defense not getting to Stafford, too. That's another thing, too. We can talk about the secondary all day because that was the number one issue with the defense. But the other thing is that you got one sack, half a sack for Hicks, a half a sack for Quinn together, right? And only I had one. That's just not good enough for a defense that's supposed to be the distinguishing characteristic of the team. The team is about defense first, and we didn't see that enough, I thought, last night either. It's problematic all around.
Back to the phones we go, and Ned is in Lamont. You asked if there's other Neds. There are. Ned in Lamont joins
morning,
us now.
Guys.
Hey, Ned, what's up, man?
Your show.
Two Neds, wow.
I just want to say I watched the game yesterday with a bunch of guys.
Yep.
And I was watching the alignment, the first bomb for a touchdown. I called it. I said, it's going to be a bomb because I looked at the formation, and If I can call it, obviously Stafford can see that, smell it, and call that play. I know you guys have an obligation. I love your show. I've called many times to your show. But I'm telling you, as long as we have Nagy and Pace, we are wasting our breath, okay? I want to say one thing to Nagy.
We're obligated to talk about the Bears. Is that the obligation you're referring to?
I know. I know you are. Believe me, and you should. Okay? I want to say one thing to Nagy, and I hope he listens to this. If you want to save your job, Nagy, okay, give up the play calling, all right? You can still be involved. You're in charge of this team, okay? Give the play calling to your offensive coordinator. Come up with a plan before the game and focus. Take your face off the playbook so you can watch what's going on the field and assess your players, assess the plays, you can make proper adjustments. You cannot make proper adjustments if your face is buried in the playbook. I'm sorry, but that's how I feel.
Ned, I think you're 100% right. We appreciate your call. He's exactly right. He's so buried in as what Waddle and Sylvie called the Denny's menu. That Coach, you want to fake punt it? Coach, you want to do this? Coach, you want to challenge it? Huh? I'm looking at what the next three plays are going to be. That's not what a head coach does.
There are a number of coaches around the NFL that have the play sheet in front of them. You know, McVay is being one of them. Andy Reid at times has that as well. But you also have to have trust in your assistant coaches, the defensive coordinators, all the position coaches to know that, hey, if I bury my head in this sheet, everyone else has it, right? And so you have Desai as a defensive coordinator. Who knows if he's calling the right plays or not? Ultimately, it's up to the players, and the production's not there. So even if and we saw this for maybe a game or two last year with him not having the play sheet in front of him, the bottom line is that the personnel isn't very good. No matter what you're calling out there, the personnel is substandard, not enough for you to be able to win multiple playoff games, let alone winning the conference. That's what it comes down to. I mean, we can look at the coaching staff all we want. Look at the personnel. This is why Pace does not get enough of a beating, I believe, because of the mistakes he's made. There are no perfect GMs, Cap. We know that. There's always going to be missteps. Ah, I didn't hit on that draft very well. Ah, I should have picked up that free agent. But look at the team, man. Look at it. Look at the offensive line.
That's
look
my
at the
point.
Secondary.
If Ryan was in his second year or right. his first year, even his third year, you're like, all right, you're rebuilding an awful team.
Sure.
He's been here 7 years. That's the offensive line. Love James Daniels. Cody White here, solid player. Mustipher's an undrafted guy. He battles. He competes. Okay. What about left tackle? How can you not have a left tackle after 7 years? I don't understand it.
Cap, if the offense looks like this, if it continues to look like this, what I mean by that is if you're not taking shots down the field, or if Kmet has not been able to develop, or if you know one of the wide receivers has not been able to develop, then what does that say for Nagy? What, I wonder what George and Ted would say then. Because all the excuses, you already laid out earlier all the quarterbacks that Matt's had, right? Mm-hmm. So if your offense is still 15, 17, 18 points a game, and you're getting your ass whooped on the other side because your defense is leaky in the secondary, what happens then? What's the excuse then?
There can be no excuse. The bottom line is, if this thing jumps the rails like I'm fearful that it might, 5-12, 4-13, you have to make wholesale changes. You do.
To the point about Ryan Pace, too, think about the stuff that he does get credit for. He gets credit for the fact that he found a hidden gem in Tariq Cohen in the later rounds. Tariq Cohen's fine. Did he really need to be paid?
No.
In this league where running backs are interchangeable for the most part if they have any talent at all? What about Eddie Jackson? He got a big money deal. When he's intercepting the ball and returning the ball like he's a punt returner, he's great. When he has to play coverage, though, not so great. And we've seen that now for 2+ years. He got paid like a top 5 safety in this league. Khalil Mack was great when they made the move for that first year, right? But now we're seeing when you have to pay a elite player, it hampers your salary cap. You give up 2 first-rounders. All of a sudden, the defense around him is getting old. And if he's not as productive as he was in that first year, that's a problem. Jimmy Graham, he caught 10 touchdowns last year, right?
Right.
Big deal. He can't get off the defenders when he's between the 20s.
Right. He's fighting everybody, but he can't get off the line.
He's got a big ass, and he boxes people out in the red zone. That's great.
He did a great job boxing out Jalen Ramsey, who's a beast.
But between the 20s, you gave him $10 million. You couldn't cut him, and you had to cut Charles Leno instead.
Right.
And then you had to go out and get Jason Peters. That lasted 3 quarters, dude.
Yeah, you got redundancy at the position at the tight end, right? You got one for just between the 20s and one for the red zone. Usually you just have one solid tight end out of that, not two. Right? I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? Ryan Pace, everybody, right?
It's brutal. It's amazing. It is that, but we got salary cap issues for that roster.
And you put a hat on a hat on a hat when you brought in Robert Quinn. Don't you think Mack was good enough? You paid him, too. How's that deal look now? Because they can't get to the quarterback.
Correct. By the way, Leonard Floyd wasn't very good last night. He was not.
Make you feel better?
No, because I don't want either guy here.
Yeah.
We'll get to Jeff Dickerson from Los Angeles, and then Jose, Demetrius, Freddie, Bill, Kevin, all of you. Hang in. We're coming to you. We'll get an update with JD before he gets on his plane next.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Is fueled by the Pride Stores, not your typical convenience store. Check out one of their 15 Chicagoland locations today. We'll get to your calls before JD boards his luxury jet. He joins us from LA. JD, good morning. Not a pretty night for the Chicago Bears. That defense, oh my goodness, do they look like they've aged a lot quicker than anyone thought would happen. Do you agree that that was the most concerning thing you saw?
100%. Great to be with you guys. I think all the concern and angst from Chicago has cut through the fog and reached here in L.A. because I think you guys have been right this morning when you've said that, you know, it was a bit surprising to see the defense play that way. But, guys, this is the issue. It's been trending in that direction. You know, that was not a one-off for Eddie Jackson last night. He's had games. He's had plays where you say, does he want to tackle or does he not want to tackle? This wasn't exclusive to last night. This has been going back a couple of years. He's been very inconsistent. That is a major issue for the Bears right now. Khalil Mack played 44 snaps last night, guys. One assist. 44 snaps. 85% of the plays. And he was in the score sheet for one assist. Now, he played better than that mostly last year and the year before, but it's been trending in that direction where he hasn't been that ultra-dominant player they need him to be. I thought Akeem Hicks of the three, of the big three, played the best, but he also had that terrible personal foul penalty, which continues to show you that he can make these critical mental errors. And he had hit the quarterback a couple of times. He wasn't dominant, but he was better than Jackson and Mack. So that to me was, look, if they're going to play like that on defense against good teams, they are completely done. The season is over. They will turn to Justin Fields very soon, and it'll just be about how can Fields grow and what they can make and salvage for this year. Because defensively, they've got to play at a good level to keep this team in games as the offense continues to predictably struggle in certain areas. They have to be conservative with the passing attack. They're on their fourth string offensive tackle right now on the left side. That's a huge deal. They got to figure out going forward. So, yeah, I mean, for all the talk about Dalton and Fields, and that's good talk, don't get me wrong, the defense completely laid an egg last night, and that is very troublesome as you project this thing out further.
J.D., what is your letter grade for the offensive line and their protection of Fields and Dalton last night?
I would say, Jonathan, C-ish, and this is why, okay? Now, Dalton, they weren't hit that much. I mean, Dalton had the fumble, and yeah, he had the two turnovers. And for as, you know, I thought Dalton got the ball out pretty quick most of the night, but everything is so short, and that's the problem, is they can't set stuff up. So what's the point, guys, of having Darnell Mooney in that speed if everything he's running is underneath or stretching towards the sidelines? Like, you can't take any real big shots. They had one dialed up late in the game, and Aaron Donald wrecked that and, you know, threw Dalton back 9 yards. I mean, the offensive line at times played okay. David Montgomery got off to this great start, and then all of a sudden he's sitting on 3 carries for 57 yards for a couple of series, and you're like, wait a minute. You know, unless he's hurt, and he did get hurt later, his finger, but he told us after the game that he was fine. It was all taped up. My assumption is he's not going to miss any time with it. But, I mean, you have, you know, Montgomery's in a rhythm. They're obviously blocking well for him, and they go away from that for a while. And that's the maddening part of the Bears and what it's been like the last couple of years. They just can't seem to really get themselves in any sort of prolonged rhythms. So I think, given the fact that they were on their fourth left tackle since the season, since, you know, training camp opened, you know, it was an average night by the offensive line, but unless Dalton's getting rid of that ball quickly, he's going to be under a lot of duress if they set up for those big dropbacks.
So Eddie Jackson, obviously, that's an imposter in his uniform because that guy was absolutely awful. He was not good last year. He was worse last night. Taylor Lewan, who's one of the best left tackles in the game, would we agree with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
He just tweeted this morning, got my ass kicked. No way around it. I let our team and our fans down. And thank you, Chandler Jones, for exposing me. It will only force me to get better. While he's taking that kind of accountability, Eddie Jackson's posted pictures of Ed Reed. This guy is as far from Ed Reed as I am. What is going on with this guy?
Well, I would argue, Kath, that wasn't an imposter. That was Eddie Jackson. You saw last night. That's just who he is. He made a couple of great plays a few years ago. He got paid a lot of money. He's very athletic. There are some plays you watch him and you say he's really dialed in. And then there's other plays where, again, I hate to use the phrase willingness, but I mean, I just don't sense the willingness sometimes for him to engage as far as making these important tackles. Sometimes he does, but oftentimes he doesn't. So, you know, look, we didn't talk to anyone on defense except for Roquan Smith last night. We were waited very late for Sean Gibson. He had a drug test, so that got all tangled up, and because they're trying to leave and get to the airport. Eddie Jackson was never even mentioned as someone that was going to come and talk to us. That's how it goes with this group, Cap. Unfortunately, I mean, you know, you just kind of try to talk to who you can talk to. I mean, number, you know, 50, you know, Khalil Mack never talks after a loss. He wasn't available last night. And that's, you know, you're left with, and, you know, you're basically what happens is now Matt Nagy, who was so ultra-focused on the offense during the game, has to answer questions about the defense, and he knows that, you know, there's communication issues, that you got to touch a guy when they're down, but he can't really give you, like, the in-depth, like, what the heck is going on. And I thought last night really called for a what the heck is going on type explanation, and we just did not get that. So this is just, I hate to say it is what it is, but that's how a lot of these guys roll. And, you know, if you're looking for answers last night, you didn't get them. But I think just watching how they played, you can pretty much draw your own conclusions, and you're going to be spot on with it.
JD, based on what Nagy said yesterday after the game, the inability or the unwillingness to not take shots down the field, is it because of the Rams' defense, or is it that Nagy does not have trust or belief that Robinson or Moody can get separation?
No, I think it's Jonathan. I think he's worried about the offensive line. I really do. And I feel like, you know, they did. Now, listen, Aaron Donald did not dominate that game last night.
Mm-hmm.
He had a big play late, but they did a pretty good job on him. I think that he feels like right now with the personnel that he's got, that the ball's got to come out so quick, and that's where his mindset is. I don't think it has anything to do with Mooney or Allen Robinson. Now, Mooney certainly can get separation. I think Robinson can too, to an extent, but that's not necessarily the big strength of his game. But I think that was way more about the line and thinking what the Rams' defense could do to the line in that circumstance, more so, Jonathan, than the receivers. I think he trusts the receivers. I just don't think he trusts that the offensive line can protect long enough for them to make those types of plays downfield.
JD, real quick before we let you go, I know you got a flight to board. Can you explain to me what Andy Dalton does at this point that Justin Fields can't? Because I know Justin Fields got the ball down to the two. Let's take him back out of the game when he'd be his most dangerous. Oh, God, is that guy going to run? Is that guy going to throw? What are we going to do here? We take him out. And then Andy throws a pick after a false start. Andy misses a wide-open Cole Kmet on 4th-and-4 to try and fit it into Allen Robinson when Kmet literally had no one in the same area code. What in the hell is going on?
Yeah, that was a bad miss. Kmet was wide open, and that would have been one where he catches the ball, Cap, and he turns it upfield, and that's a big play. So that was a big miss by Andy Dalton. So I'll tell you this. You will see Justin Fields for more than 5 plays against the Bengals on Sunday. This is the home opener. The Bears pretty much understand how bad they looked last night, and they're going to try to make up for that this weekend, although the Bengals won yesterday, and they're going to come in to Chicago with tons of confidence and belief that they could beat this team, and why wouldn't they? You're going to see Justin Fields more. You'll see him more in the red zone. I think right now, Cap, they believe in the red zone. He's giving them their best chance to succeed. Between the 20s, they're not completely sold yet. And that's what I'm telling you based on the playing time, based on what Andy Dalton, why he's out there. Eventually that will change, and everyone knows where this is going. This is not going to be a long thing here. Everyone knows that he's going to eventually take over. But I think right now between the 20s, they feel like Dalton's going to get the ball out quicker and give him a little bit better shot to move it. But in the red zone, absolutely, Justin Fields is a much more dominant player, and I think they're going to try to use him a lot more in week 2.
Thanks, man. Have a great day and a safe flight.
Okay. I know it wasn't very satisfying. I'm sorry. But that's just, you know, I mean,
This is
who they are, yeah. Unfortunately, but guys. We'll talk later.
But your Bears hit was solid, though.
Well, I do my best. And it's foggy here, so hopefully we'll get home today. Can't do another night in L.A. Boy, when you're out in L.A., you miss Chicago. Let me tell you that, okay?
Really?
I'm with J.D.
Oh, L.A. is...
Yeah, I'm not in L.A.
Nah. No one asked you.
Nah.
All right, J.D.
San Diego, beautiful L.A. Keep it.
See you, bud.
There he is, Jeff Dickerson. Fueled by the Pride store is not your typical convenience store. Check out one of their 15 Chicagoland locations today. All right, we'll finish out with calls. Jose and Demetrius and the rest of you, all coming up next.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Oh, hi there, and welcome to Letters with George. I'm owner George, and Ryan and Matt are football guys, and the boys lost a tough one against the Rams. I'm still in L.A., and we're going to board the plane and come back to Chicago. I don't have any letters to read, unfortunately, from you, the great Bears fan. So I feel like I should write a letter of my own to Matt and just leave it on the seat for him on the plane. Dear Matt, you know I don't like to meddle, but the boys gave a great effort. But I just want you to know, Mom's pissed. I don't like the medal, but I think that Marshall Fields should have had more time on the field. He had a couple of nice plays out there. But I know that you and Ryan know best. And you know what I don't like the medal? But the defense looked like the Swiss cheese on my pastrami sandwich. And by the way, pastrami and Swiss, $20 here at the stadium. It's unbelievable. Anyway, good luck next Sunday. I don't like the medal, but go Bears. Okay, I'll just send this over and get this ready. I'll just slide it on his seat. That's what I'll do.
McCaskey?
Oh, no. It's Stan Kroenke of the Rams. Hi, Stan.
Well, you know, a deal's a deal.
No, not that deal. Can't we do this some other time?
Now, listen, McCaskey. If you lost, you'd get a wet willy from me.
I don't know if I really want that.
Well, you're going to have to do this.
No.
Yes.
No.
Well, good luck next time, McCaskey.
I don't like that, Kroenke. Well, that's Letters with George. I need a Kleenex. Go Bears. Yeah.
Thank you, George. Appreciate that exclusive content here on Cap J. Hood on ESPN 1000.
All right. You the giver of the wet willy, or have you received a wet willy?
I'm sure Bruce? I received one when I was in fact, I know I was when I played football Division III.
Yes.
Yeah, I got one of those.
But you're not a giver of the wet willy.
No.
You're not a river. You don't riv. Huh? You don't riv, guys.
I mean, I'll, you know, have my fun, but nah, I never was the giver of the wet willy.
Yes.
I think I got one.
See, that was really interesting insight because I always wondered what billionaires wager because they have so much money. They don't care if they lose a wager, right?
Yes.
But how about that? Stan Kroenke and George McCaskey wagering a wet willy on yesterday's game. That was something, man.
It was. Let's try and get... Okay, we're going... Guess where we're going to, Hoodie? We are going... across the pond. Hey, Kevin, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
I'm in Switzerland right now, and I was watching the game till 6 in the morning yesterday. You know, my question for you guys is about the offensive line and their ability to protect, you know, Fields if he comes in. We just heard from JD that they've gone through 4 left tackles since the start of camp. From a historical perspective, like, how bad is this offensive line? Because if we're going to put him in and he's going to have a Joe Burrow torn ACL, it might not be worth it. At the same time, I have to see Nagy with a full season and show his ineptitude so then we can fire him. Because if he's going to, you know, play him for 5 or 6 games, come back for a second season, that's a bad process too. But I don't want Fields to get a torn ACL, having gone through those a couple times, you know? So what do you guys think?
Well, we appreciate the phone call, Derek.
Thanks, Kevin.
Right now, we are the number one afternoon show in Switzerland because it's now 4:58 in Switzerland right now.
Yeah, he's been up a lot then. He hadn't gotten a lot of sleep. Here's how I would answer that. They ran the ball well last night. There weren't a ton of sacks.
Right.
Like, they weren't bad last night. Now, Tevin Jenkins is on injury reserve with the back surgery. Jason Peters did not come back in the game after he got hurt. Larry Borum did not come back in the game after he got hurt. Mm-hmm. Now you're on Elijah Wilkinson. There is no left tackle tree where you go, hey, get me another left tackle. There's nobody out there.
It's all about the protection of Dalton and/or Fields, and then when you have those injuries, as you and I are on the same page, I didn't think the offensive line, as much as it being a big storyline, they were not awful. It wasn't 7 or 8 sacks that were surrendered. A few hurries and a couple of sacks, yes. But how is that? Does it get better or does it get worse without having your number one left tackle in place?
We're going to find out. All right, we will crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko. 2 minutes.